The Church Around the World, in conversation with influential church leaders sharing how God is at work and equipping you with practical insights and applications for your ministry today. From every tribe, language, and nation, God is calling people to Himself. So join us as we look out to the fields already ripe for harvest. From your doorstep to the ends of the earth, here is your host for The Church Around the World, Dan Ehrman.
Welcome to The Church Around the World. I'm Dan Ehrman, and honored today to be joined by my co-host, Caroline Curry, and she works with the Tyndale House Foundation as a development specialist. Caroline, thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks, Dan.
Well, for sure. And we're excited, and Caroline's here. Is it Caroline or Caroline?
It's Caroline. Thank you for asking. I love when people ask.
Okay.
It can be confusing.
Oh, for sure. But you're here in with the foundation because one of our foundation partners here local in the Chicago area is By the Hand Club for Kids. And we're joined by Peter Hansen, a vice president of volunteer development, and Steve Fernandez, a chief development officer. Gentlemen, thanks for making the trek out to Carroll Stream.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Thanks, Caroline.
Yeah. Thanks, Caroline. Appreciate it.
Well, we're excited about the fact that we've been able to partner with By the Hand Clubs here in the Chicago area. For our foundation, most of what we fundraise for and try to partner in is global. But we also have one line item in our kind of giving strategy that's local. Yeah. And so you guys have been part of that. Maybe Caroline, do you want to speak a little bit more to how does By the Hand Club fit into the strategy of the Tyndale House Foundation?
Yeah, totally. So like you were saying, a lot of our partnerships are international, so about 90%, but we also like to partner with some local organizations in the Chicago area. Tyndale House Foundation and Tyndale House Publishers has existed in Carroll Stream and the Wheaton area since we started. And so part of our local partnerships and what we like to do is to kind of just give back to our own community. So supporting organizations like By the Hand that are engaged in Christian ministry in the Chicago area, serving students or just other vulnerable populations that we feel it's important that they know the love of Jesus too. So that's kind of what our local partnerships look like. And yeah, By the Hand is a great partner, so we're excited to have them on today.
So for church leaders who are joining us, Peter, I'll turn to you on this since you've worked in some capacity with By the Hand for a dozen years or better. What is By the Hand Club for Kids for people who aren't around Chicago who already know?
Sure. Yeah, well, By the Hand Club is a holistic after-school program. We serve students in as young as kindergarten up through high school, and we have students who are alumni who are in college in early career. We are serving students in under-resourced neighborhoods in Chicago, specifically working in neighborhoods and collaborating with schools so that students would have a safe place to go after school, where they will be cared for by loving and nurturing adults, and then would have opportunities to, like we say, holistically address just many different aspects of their lives, whether it's an academic need, whether they are in need of counseling, whether they are in need of a warm meal, which we provide every time they're with us. We want to be a place where they are known and can be known to others because we want to be that place of love for them.
That's great. And then Steve, you work as a chief development officer. That means that you're helping doing fundraising stuff and connecting people in. But when we met earlier, you talked a little bit about the interchange between your role and Peter's role with volunteers and donors.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that dynamic.
Yeah. I shared when we spoke earlier even about how it's a more recent change within By the Hand that volunteer development is actually underneath the fund development department. And we have seen in a year and a half of that so much fruit because we often find, I guess with some of our corporate partners where people are engaged is generally where they give. And we find that with individuals as well. If we can engage them, if they can see what's happening on the ground, then they're certainly, you know, more likely to give. What we try to do, what our mission is, as a fund development team, you know, is it's an extension of the mission of the entire ministry, and we really we want our donors, we want our volunteers to be transformed in the same way that our kids are. And again, one of the most amazing ways for them to be transformed is by coming and interacting with our kids. So Peter helps with that. And you know, even the way we do it as an organization, we have a lot of flexibility in how folks can come and be a part of the work that we do. And that's been a great benefit to our fund development team to have Peter there and his team to be able to kind of think through unique ways that someone can engage with an aspect of our mission that connects with their passions and, you know, kind of their purpose for their life.
By the Hand is unique in that it's intentionally faith oriented, but you also have bridged into kind of corporate America. And so how does that work?
Well, I think our metrics speak for themselves. I think a lot of whether it's an individual that maybe doesn't come from a faith background or a corporation that you know, might value education in the inner city, or career development, or workforce development is a big thing now, or wanting to invest in these communities that are food deserts and food scarcity being such an issue in the communities that we serve, that really, you know, our mission, it can kind of bridge some of those differences. Someone can see By the Hand and say, I see the value of a By the Hand in the community of Austin or Inglewood or Cabrini Green or Alkell Gardens. And
if people aren't from Chicago, they don't know those neighborhoods. Are some rough zip codes.
Yeah. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. They're not zip codes I would have gone to or chosen to go to for most of my upbringing, but man, these communities are incredible. The kids are incredible. The people are incredible, and yeah, you know, I mean, that's the pleasure and the privilege of doing this work is you get to go and build relationships with kids I never would have interacted with. And I've spent time overseas, and you go to a community like Alkell Gardens, far south side of Chicago, and haven't experienced anything like that, even in slums in Africa. And there's a lot of work to be done here, and we're just glad we get to go in those communities and do those things, and glad that there's a lot of people who see those communities and want to partner with us in that type of way, whether it's corporation or, you know, individuals who see that work happening. And even if they're not aligned with our, you know, our biblical standards of living or, you know, our biblical values that we you know, hold to as an organization, they still see, wow, you guys are making a real difference in Alkeld or in Cabrini or in Austin. And we want to invest in that.
If I may, I would just say that ultimately people are attracted to a space where they are cared for and they are respected and they're invited in. And I think that when a corporate partner or individuals coming as part of a corporation's relationship to nonprofit work in the city, I think when they recognize how much we care about our students and our students care about each other or care about our community, they recognize that. I think that's one thing that's also noticeable. I think they also recognize that we care about them as individuals. And I think that's really important to the why behind why someone would keep coming back, is because if you feel valued and welcomed in this space, we hope, we pray that is God's love for them to be invited into that space. And I think that does transcend a lot of the potential hindrances that may come through just the faith forward direction that we like to have.
When we were meeting earlier, you talked, Peter, quite a bit about love and just the impact of that and the multiplicative nature of love. And I think there can be a dynamic where, like, the affluent suburban donor base in corporate America can feel almost like, oh, we're going to help these kids out. But I also know from my own experiences that that multiplicative impact of love can impact donors and volunteers, in that if they hadn't had the interactions with the students, they wouldn't have ever known that. Can you speak a little bit to how you've seen God work in the hearts of folks as they've connected with the students?
Absolutely. I have so many stories, which I don't want to bore us all with that. But I think there are a few things that really stand out to me. First, I've shared this, Steve has heard this before. We have people who have non-faith backgrounds. We have people who come from other traditions, and we welcome them into our space to hear God's good news to them, but also to get to know our students. And we've had people who are non-practicing Jews come into our space. And one gentleman in particular that I have close to my heart is an older man. He is a secular Jewish man, and he has come into our space for a number of years to volunteer as a homework assistant, basically helping students with their homework. And when I first met him, I thought, he is never going to like me. He's never going to like us. He feels a little bit abrasive. He's not a Christian. He doesn't necessarily agree with our faith. And then over the years, what I think I've realized is that this man needed to be with us because he was lonely. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he was retired. He did not have a very warm relationship with his family, and he was just looking for a place that someone would care about him and welcome him in and give him purpose. And it became very clear to me that one of our tasks was to shepherd this man's experience when he came into our space, and that what we were doing was showing Christ's compassion for him. When he's lonely, he has a community, he has friendships, he has relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's been many years now. I can think of seeing him even last week. And it's his presence that shows me just the value of what it means to be doing this work. Because by doing this week in and week out, it's God's love is working in his heart as well. And I think of that as a task that we have. And without taking too much time about it, I would love to just share another story in which we have groups who come from other parts of the country, and they participate in service trips with us, maybe on a spring break or a summer trip. And we like to invite people into that so that we can shepherd them educationally around the context of the city and what it means to be devotionally connected to the work that God is doing. And so part of what we do is to give space for them to reflect on how God is working in their lives. And we've had groups that have come, and including one that's come consistently, in which students have gone back to their school in the Midwest and have specifically been baptized, and they will point to their experience coming and serving alongside us as the reason why they were dedicating their lives to Christ. And I just think the value of that as to be a space where they can engage their faith, to reflect on what God is doing in their lives through the experience that they have serving alongside us and our students, just feels like our task is also to love them each and every time they're there, because we don't know what's going to happen in their lives.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think you were talking earlier about just the holistic nature of what you do for students, but you can also kind of see that holistic nature of what you do just for everyone that you're inviting into partnership. I think it's just such a beautiful image of the church, like, coming together as you just bring people's time and talent and skills in and help them serve how they can, and then use that in other ways, too, to invite people from maybe outside of the church in to see what God is doing. So it's just a really cool way that's happening in our own backyard in Chicago. I think one other thing, maybe kind of going off just that idea of, like, how you're loving outwardly. We were talking earlier about, like, an abundance versus scarcity mindset in specifically relationships, or just in general, like, the mindset that students might have when they're coming into your care. So how do you kind of steward relationships with students in that way so they can see not just the love of the people pouring into them, but the love of Christ as well?
Yeah, that's a big question. I'll share a little bit, and if Steve, you want to share a little as well, it's up to you. I think first of all, we want to know that that God ultimately is the reason why they're in our care. The only way we have the ability to do the work that we do is because God's love animates us. So when students come into our space, we want them to know right away that it is Christ's love that is compelling us outward and caring for them. And we want to make sure that that is visibly demonstrated too in the spaces that we inhabit. We want that to be seen. We also have staff that are specifically trained and then training others to be able to share that love with our students through the language of Scripture. And then also inviting our students into reading the Bible with them. So as part of our holistic programming, we are always presenting students the gospel. We participate in a chapel. We also have small groups. We have one-on-ones. The goal being that our students would be meeting Christ every time that they're with us. And particularly if they're new to By the Hand, if they've never been before, that within their first visit to By the Hand, they have heard that God loves them and is specifically calling out to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of what we have a lot of aspects of our programming that are general aspects of our programming, general interventions that we have for our students, but our overall approach is see the one child in front of you, and it's personalized attention over more general care, and I think that's where our students feel that value. Because we don't know what a lot of their backgrounds might look like. They might not have that same level of attention, at their homes or in their schools or, in the many contexts that they're in. So we try to see them at one child. We call our kind of like teachers, but we call them team leaders. And really their role is build relationships with these kids, see these kids where they are, love them, and then kind of thinking on, as I think of our donor strategy or our fund development, the broader fund development strategy with our partners, whether it's corporate partners or corporate volunteers or individuals, it's very much the same approach. We don't have a playbook that is, here's what you step one is meet the person. Step two is it's a person across from you. And we view what we do within fund development as an extension of our ministry. So it's relationship building. It's communion. It's a unique context for ministry and stewarding a relationship, much in the same way we do with our students. So again, it's seeing that donor or that volunteer, like Peter shared with in his story, for who they are, meeting them where they are, engaging what they're in, their passions, and connecting them with that aspect of our ministry that, hopefully as a result of them being a part of what we're doing as a volunteer, donor, whatever it might be, they're also being transformed, similar to what how our students are.
Steve, I like how you're just talking about the donor side of yeah. what you do. And I think so often in Christian ministries, it's really easy to be like, how did you see God show up in the donation process? And it's like, oh, we got more money.
Yeah.
And you didn't say that. No. How do you sense God's Spirit moving and leading in that relationship? Maybe give an example of like, what does it look like to see God at work in doing donor development well?
Yeah. There's one story that does come to mind. There's many stories. And I don't know, I've worked, in ministry and in Christian education for years. I want to state, I've never met an organization that prays more than By the Hands. And we're praying for gifts. We pray for gifts by dollar amount, by name, but we pray regularly for donors. by name if we know things are happening in their personal lives, if we know there's a health crisis or a family crisis. We lift them up, and very regularly. So we are committed to that, and God has been so good to our organization in so many ways, including financially through the 25 years that we've been around. You know, one story I would think of recently, we had a donor who was a volunteer and donor who passed away tragically, and his family chose for By the Hand to be in the obituary, and people could, in lieu of flowers, could give to By the Hand Club. And I think as an organization, to have that place with a family where we were so, the organization was so impactful to this young man that they said, we want you guys to be, you know, a beneficiary of this. We want you to be a part of this and celebrating his life. And I was so touched by that. Mm. And then even through the last, this is a recent event, just the phone calls and the opportunities I had to speak with people that wanted to, you know, give in memory, but then also hear about the work of By the Hand. It's just this really unique opportunity to build relationships with new people, to minister, for them to ask, so what's the deal with this organization? Why were you so important to this young man? Mm. And to speak into that, it's so much bigger than dollars raised. Right. And that's one example of it, but we have countless examples of, you know, it gives us goosebumps to find out it was a lot more than just gifts, or it was a lot more than just, you know, coming and donating an hour a week for 3 years. There was a lot more happening there that, you know, you don't even always know when you're in our types of roles. Right. But we were fortunate enough in many cases to kind of hear the testimony and hear the impact that these things have had in lives. And that's cool to be part of.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
One of the angles I want to make sure that we touch on here, you know, this being the Church Around the World as a podcast, and this is By the Hand is Chicago, and you guys are like in maybe one other location, is that right?
So that is correct. We it is a federated model. So we have Chicago, which is our, you know, we've been around 25 years in Chicago, and then we now have By the Hand Club Dallas.
Cool.
So it's a separate 501c3, but spreading now to Dallas, and we will be, you know, the goal is 10,000 kids in the next 10 years across the nation.
Wow.
So we're expanding and growing, and you know, we're going to be the largest, the only faith-based national after-school program. So we're very excited about that.
What role can a local church have in this? Like, do you want a local church is like, we want to bring this to our city? Do you want them to reach out, or what does that look like?
Yeah. So I would say yes, it does. you know, we know a lot of local churches either are in the after school programming space, or maybe they're doing it themselves, they're investing in that space, and absolutely, whether as a thought partner or as a potential future By the Hand Club, we would love to have that conversation. And then, you know, for a local church looking maybe for engagement, or looking for, whether it's in Chicago or, you know, really anywhere in the country, you know, a trip to Chicago, a trip to visit our clubs, whether it's going across all of our six sites in the city or coming and visiting one, it's like Peter shared, it's a unique opportunity for them to be exposed to a context they probably have never been exposed to, and then to grow themselves as a result of that, and then to engage with people in that community. So engagement is big there.
Yeah, and I would add, one of the things I've done over the years has been thinking through how churches have to think both internally and externally. My wife works for our local church, and I've done a lot in that context as well. And one of the things that I think local churches wrestle with a lot has been, how do we disciple our community, but also help steward our resources outward, particularly in how we serve our neighbors. And one of the goals that I have had for our space as serving churches has been to be a place where we can support you in that process of exploring God's character of service. So some of the things that we try to do is help work with churches to understand how do you step out in service in a space like By the Hand as a space where we can hold your hand a little bit more, particularly with youth. I believe this for both adults and youth, but I tend to say to people that when you're working with a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old, they have a lot of life choices ahead of them. They also have a lot of brain formation that's going to happen. And if we can help them shape their understanding of God's character in service now, that's going to affect a lifetime. But I also think it's just as valuable for adults to have that experience. So what we try to do is when we work with churches is give you a space to really explore what does it mean to serve in a way that is holistic, that is mutually beneficial, that is rooted in God's love, and is rooted in then our God's love for our neighbor in such a way that we can walk away seeing our own development, discipleship growing in our church population. So we've tried to do that a lot. So ways that people do that is they come and serve on trips, just like Steve described. They serve as small groups. We've worked on small group curriculums related to that. And then within my team, one of the things that we try to do is really do a good job of mixing an educational space into a practical working out of that in real life. So those are a number of different ways.
So is there a particular time when those kind of trips happen typically? Is it over the summer or on spring breaks or how does that fall?
When it's youth, it's always when they're off of school. Okay. So yeah. One of my favorite times is actually coming up in end of February to beginning of April. We have a lot of different groups who come into our space because they have a spring break. Nice. We do work with schools and churches sometimes during the J term or winter term, right after Christmas. We do a lot of work with groups in the summer when people have a little bit more flexibility. If they're coming from further afield, and I've worked with churches from as far away as Washington State, California, Florida, East Coast, Vermont. And when they're coming from farther away, they tend to want to take time in total. And so they're coming at those break times. If a church is in the Chicagoland area, that should not preclude their participation at any time of the year. We are serving students all the way around the year. And there are so many different ways we want to invite them into our space that if they're local, they can get involved anytime.
Well, Caroline, you're coming from Georgia. Would you recommend Chicago in January?
You know, I'm going to be positive. This is my first year here. So I'm going to say you can get through it. And I can see April coming. Like, that's the nice part, is it's January now. But I'm like, you know what? April will be nice.
April might be nice.
April might be nice.
Will be nice.
But I'm new enough here that I'm still hopeful.
Yeah.
So
okay.
My wife is from the South, and I often tell her that March is Chicago's snowiest month, and she just thinks that I'm doing that to bother her. So I will say that here. It is Chicago's snowiest month. Yeah.
Well, it's like you know if you start smiling in Christmas, it'll be frozen for the next 3 months, and then you wake up and. Yeah. Maybe I'll catch up with your smile. And
Yeah, well, anyone from Georgia knows you don't see snow much, so that part is still exciting to me. Give me a year, and I might change my mind. Too. It's on record now, though, that I like the snow currently. But, yeah, that's great. And I think thinking about trips, too, like just like bringing in students or outside churches, like they, one, get to see the need that you're trying to address and, like, really understand what does the next generation need. And then if it's, like, a school group, they're part of addressing a need for their own generation. Mm-hmm. And that's a really unique opportunity. Mm-hmm. What are, I guess, from your, like, context and from your ministry, what are the needs of the next generation that you see everywhere that you're working? Obviously, like, you individualize care to that student. Like, it's relational. But what do you feel like for, like, the listener that's maybe at their local church or wanting to engage with youth ministry more, like what are the needs that they need to be aware of for the generation that they're trying to interact with?
Yeah, I spend so much time with children. I never thought I would. And I think one of the things I come away from every time is that intentionality and physical presence is going to be essential for children today and into the future. We have, let technology take hold so much, and for good or ill, based on things like the pandemic and people having to go to different forms of learning, et cetera, we just became so connected to devices that for students, both students we serve at By the Hand, but then someone who might come and serve with us, one of the real great opportunities is to spend time together with people in real life where you get to know them and you get to see them. And I think you wrestle with real challenges in front of somebody and physically present with someone, that changes a lot of how you approach the world. So one of the key things that I would say as it relates to youth ministry is we don't want technology to be a crutch for engaging with youth, but we want that to be a tool in which we can use it well to participate with their lives. And that also kids are not as interested in technology as adults think they are if we create a compelling vision for what real life can look like. So those are a few things that I think are really important.
Yeah. You talk about kind of physical connectivity and in-person ness. We talked about the challenges of having some volunteers and donors in the suburbs, and you're serving neighborhoods in the city, and there's a literal time gap in that. How can Christians be reconsidering how they prioritize their time and being open to how God might want them to steward it in that fashion? I don't know, Steve, kick that to you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I in my devotion this morning, this was actually the topic of the devotion was, if you were given $84,000 every day, and you had to spend it by the end of that day, you would be intentional about every penny that you spent that day. Mm. You would hold every cent captive as you went through that day and had to spend it. And the challenge was, well, That's how many seconds you have in the day, so hold captive every second. Hmm. And I think I don't know how you practically make this change, but I think if you can shift your paradigm to view every moment as a precious resource, and how are you going to spend that, and you know, if you've also decided that, you know, you're going to invest in these communities or in these children that you know, the likes of a By the Hand is serving, then those two things should be in alignment. Mm-hmm. Your time, you know, if your treasure's there, mm-hmm. why can't your time also be there as well? So, you know, I would say, you know, that's, again, it's a more philosophical answer. I don't know practically how you change that in people, but I think viewing time and every moment as an opportunity is probably where you would have to start.
Yeah, I would add to that. I am a parent, and I work with children. My wife works with children. I spend a lot of time with kids. And one thing that we have talked about in our lives, and then just kind of observing and thinking about parenting, is there's no such thing as neutral parenting. Mm. And it's either you are creating a culture, or you're letting someone else create that culture for your children. And I think then the question becomes, how do you want to steward that culture creation for your kids and those in your care in that way? And I think that's where, when we talk about time, the expectation is that time is neutral, that there's such a thing as neutral time. But I think there is this sense that God has given us time. We measure time in different ways, but he's given us a finite amount of time in this world. And we can either let others shape it, or we can try to shape it ourselves. And there are obviously parameters. We live in a large metro region where traffic exists, and we have jobs that have expectations on us, and there are people in our lives that require those things. But I think that as we go through our days and think about where we have autonomy in shaping our time, and particularly prioritizing time with people, and specifically people who are in our care, or that we can that we can positively influence, I think that that is a sense of like saying, this is not a neutral thing, but I will take control or ownership of it, and I will steward as God has given me those resources, just like God has given us resources of financial transactions.
What do you see as the impact of, you know, creating these diverse social connections and crossing between those two worlds in a sense? Can you share a little bit of how have you seen God show up in that?
I think, the first thing I would say is that in a lot of our context at By the Hand Club, we are serving students who may rarely have an interaction outside of their neighborhood, or they might not have ever participated in some of the things that people come to Chicago to experience, go downtown. You don't know how frequently I hear that students have never been to the lakefront. That's one thing that is kind of a surprising thing when you live within a few miles of the lakefront. And then we have potentially donors, volunteers, others who come into our space who have experienced many things around the world. They've traveled around the world. They've traveled to other states. They've experienced just a diversity of things. And one of the things that we recognize is that in that space, the person who has had all of those life experiences outside of their neighborhood is bringing something that they can share with our students who may not have had that experience. And when they do that, when God shows up in that space, it allows our students to see the world a lot bigger than their block or their neighborhood or their school, or even that section of Chicago, and envision themselves in those spaces as well. So one of the things that I really love is when we have people who come into our clubs and share about their careers or how they got to be what they do today in terms of vocation, but also who they might be in many different manifold ways. And we've had volunteers come into our students' classrooms and talk about, like, the reason why I do what I do today is because of this step along my life. And our students have never heard of that career. They've never heard of that experience. They've never done that thing. And that value of extending my experiences to you and to your life is one of those first ways that I think that we can create that opportunity for our students to possibly explore that more fully in their lives. And if they don't have that opportunity with that person, if they don't get to know that person, they won't necessarily know how to get to that place. Yeah.
Steve, you mentioned you were in education, and so you know all about differentiation and navigating.
I know some about it.
Well, you know more than me. That's not a high bar. How is By the Hand Club different from the million other, after school programs and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
What's distinctive about it that makes it like something where, like, this is a model that needs to be replicated.
Yeah.
What is it about By the Hand Club?
Great question. I am sure there are amazing after-school programs all around the country and even in the city of Chicago. I would say
why are you better?
I would say what makes By the Hand distinct, I think, is the heart of By the Hand. So I love talking about the heart of By the Hand, because you can read, I give you our annual reports, you can go on our website, read all about the organization, but kind of between the lines is the heart of By the Hand. Mm-hmm. And the heart of By the Hand is to help our students. It's in alignment with our vision and mission. So our vision is helping kids who live in unresourced neighborhoods have abundant life. Our mission is to take kids by the hand, kindergarten through college, loving and nurturing them, mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. Our heart is to remove any barrier between our child, the child in front of us, and abundant life. Mm. And so kind of back to we spoke about seeing each child uniquely, as a gift, and that they have value because they're God's creation. And, we're looking at that child saying, what is it? How can we help you? Is it that you have a toothache? Can we get a dentist to help you with your toothache? Is it that you're sitting in the back of your school and you're struggling because you actually can't even read what's on the board? Do you need glasses? Is it that you're hungry throughout the day and you can't pay attention because your stomach's growling? What is it? And so we look at the child, and the heart is to that child in front of us. This year there's going to be over 2,140 kids served by our six sites across Chicago. But it's looking at one child and saying, how can I help this child today overcome those barriers that are in their life? We all know there's nothing more significant than our children come to our clubs, and on day one they receive a little care package, and it has a Bible and has a little brochure that shares them the gospel. And then we have spiritual development specialists who then come in and check in with that kid, and we'll share the gospel with them day one. Yeah. But every day then it's checking in with those kids. Meeting them where they're at, but challenging them and helping them. And so that's the heart of By the Hand. And I think that heart is what makes the organization so unique, and what makes there, a need for By the Hand to spread, to be in Dallas now serving, 60 kids in Dallas and, wherever God leads us next. There's kids around the country who need that, who don't have that. They don't have abundant life, whether because, the community they're raised in, the family they're raised in, there's a lot of need. And so there's a need for By the Hand.
I would just add something I was thinking about is just By the Hand is not choosing neighborhoods based on their name recognition and their notoriety or just the resources that they have. And in that way, when someone says Oak Hill Gardens, most people don't find their way to Oak Hill Gardens. You either have a purpose to be there, either because you live there or you are going there, potentially to go to By the Hand. And when you think about the fact that we are pursuing students who have high academic needs, they may have high familial needs, they may have high needs based in other circumstances. I think what we're trying to say is that every life has value, not just those that contribute to our personal well-being, and that they ultimately are just as much made in God's image as anyone else who can exist elsewhere, live in other neighborhoods, maybe afford to live in more affluent places. So I think like pursuing those that are in the most challenging of circumstances is one thing. But then I think the other thing, and it goes to the root of what we're talking about, that connection piece, is just that we're not coming to those spaces and saying, we're just going to give you good enough academic support. We're not going to just give you good enough glasses and eye care. We're not going to just give you good enough food. As we want to say, you don't just deserve something good enough. You deserve the best. We want to give you the best. Mm-hmm. And we want to invite people into your life who say you also deserve as much as we can offer to you, because we think that you have just as much value as someone who can contribute much in terms of that. And I think that connection piece of saying, not only do you have value, but we believe that you deserve what God has given to you.
Do you sometimes experience people who grew up going to By the Hand as kids, now as adults, and coming back and kind of reminiscing on that? What have those interactions been like?
We have, for sure. I had a funny one wherein one of my former students, I shared earlier that I first got involved through education, teaching at By the Hand and in a partnership with a school. One of my former students happened to be at our Cabrini Green site one day, and this was maybe a year or so ago, and I looked at her and I said, I know you, but I can't remember where we first met, because this was over a decade ago. And she shared her name, and I was like, oh, I remember, you were my student. And she remembered that, and she now has a couple of her children in the program. And it was a reminder of how much that space is also community. Because it was an opportunity for me to have seen not only her growth as she went into adulthood and is now working, but also how her children are growing and maturing, and how we can serve them as well, and that is replicated. There are so many different people in our communities who either give back to By the Hand because they receive that from By the Hand, or they want to put their children in By the Hand, even though they don't attend one of our collaborative schools that we work with. We do give special dispensation to those alumni to have their kids in our program if they so choose. But that's one of the things that was really great, is how people want to be present in that space with us.
Yeah, this year's our 25th year, so it's fun to... I've been around By the Hand, you know, 2.5, 3 years, known of the organization for longer than that, but to hear their stories is pretty special. One interaction I had recently comes to mind when you asked this question. We have a student, one of our first 16 students when we started in Cabrini Green, who is now on our board of directors. So he is a very cool, very, very incredible story from where he was when he started with By the Hand to where he is now. He's a father of 4 kids, I believe, you know, married, father of 4 kids. But one of the coolest things was I was meeting with a financial firm in the northern suburbs, and a young man who worked there, I don't know, mid-20s probably, came up and said, you know, I know By the Hand Club. This guy was a part of your programming. And I said, yeah, how do you know him? He said, he mentored me in college. So this you know, this young man working in the financial, you know, world, grew up in affluent, you know, I don't know where he grew up, but he went to college, and this alum of ours was an RA at the school, and he had mentored this young man. I mean, he said he was one of the most influential people in my life. So to think this young man who grew up in the hood, you know, was in a gang when he started with By the Hand Club, is now, you know, married, raising kids, serving on our board of directors, influencing the next generation through his role. It's just, I mean, it gives all of us goosebumps to think, you know, just how God is multiplying what By the Hand is doing, you know, and it's going to continue multiplying that for generations as our students enter the workforce, as they become parents, as they get married, as they become parents, as they, you know, it's exciting.
It's huge. Caroline, is there anything else you wanted to make sure that we hit on in our conversation here?
I think I was just going to say that that's like always really powerful to hear, is that you're not just meeting an immediate need, but you're casting a vision for how they can do that for others as they grow. And like, that's just the power of mentorship, is like they can see themselves and who's mentoring them, and then they can go forth and be a mentor too. But yeah, I think one thing we always just love to know is like, how can people listening to this and how can all of us here be praying for what God's doing through your ministry and what God's doing through the people that you're serving?
Yeah. I mean, there's our, you know, students, be praying for our students. You know, for our ministry, our partners, our volunteers, our staff, we all, it's we're so missional. But, you know, for the prayer not to grow weary in doing good, for all of our team, whether it's fundraising, volunteer development, or working with kids, working with the students, our staff loves it, but it's working with students. And this is coming from a former middle school teacher. I understand, while you can love what you're doing, it can be hard. So definitely pray, you know, praying for them in that way. And then, you know, as speaking from a fundraiser, should, you know, we think more people need to know about the work of By the Hand. I meet people all the time who say, how have I not heard? I'm in Chicago. How have I not heard about the work By the Hand is doing? This is incredible. So, you know, for the word to spread. And ultimately, for the word to spread, for God to be glorified, because that's our chief purpose as an organization, is to glorify God in all that we're doing, and because we think people are better if they know By the Hand, they get involved with By the Hand. We fully believe that they are better for it. So that's our prayer: is you know, for this, more students to minister to, more donors, more volunteers, more staff, more, you know, so it's.
And I would just add, we just pray that people would come to know Jesus through all of this. I think ultimately we've told a lot of stories of how God has gripped us or gripped those in By the Hand's orbit and transformed our lives by knowing Jesus. And I think about that as every student who comes through those doors and every volunteer, any donor, any staff member who's interacting with them has an opportunity to really interact with what it means to know Jesus. And ultimately, what we want to see is our students walking away, growing in faith, and doing what our board member did, which is then to mentor others in that faith. We believe so strongly that what this place can be is a space where we are sharing the gospel, that it goes forward into our communities around us. And in order to do that, our students have to also be equipped and growing in that as well. And so I just continue to pray that they are doing so and growing in that so that they can be equipped to share God's love with others.
Yeah.
Well, we are thankful that we get to be a little small part of what you're doing through the Tyndale Foundation, and to see God move and act and work in the hearts of thousands of people to be part of this. I imagine you have hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers.
Comes through,
safe?
Yeah, including all of our volunteers from around the country and locally, yeah, correct.
That's extraordinary. Well, thank you both for making time for trekking out here to the suburbs to do a reverse commute on this.
And
really honored to see the work of By the Hand Club for Kids. We'll have links to you guys and any relevant stuff there, both for churches, if you're interested in donating and being part of that, or you know, coming to serve. We'll have links for you to check all that out. Peter Hansen, Steve Fernandez, gentlemen, thank you very much. Carolyn Curry, thank you for coordinating all of this and bringing us together.
Yeah, glad we could all have a conversation about what God's doing.
Yeah, so, this was great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you both. Really appreciate it.
And thanks for joining us here on the Church Around the World. I'm Dan Ehrman. Blessings.
You've been listening to the Church Around the World with Dan Ehrman, discovering how God is working in and through the church. Practical takeaways and insights from this conversation equip church leaders like you to carry out Great Commission work in your local community. To help expand the impact of this show, make sure you subscribe, review, and share the Church Around the World on your favorite platform. To learn more, hear previous episodes, or contact Dan, visit us at churcharoundworld.com. That's churcharoundworld.com.